Isaiah chapter 9, and we will read the first seven verses of Isaiah chapter 9. Listen carefully to this reading of God's holy word, because the catechism reminds us that the Spirit of God has not only blessed the reading of the word, but also the preaching of the word, to make them an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and building us up in our lives as Christians, that we might walk worthily before the Lord. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will burn up as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our New Testament reading is found once again in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, the first 12 verses. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The grass wither and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. As I have been preaching through this series, on this portion of Matthew's Gospel, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount, but especially these first 12 verses here, which we often refer to as the Beatitudes. And I've tried to describe it in such a way that if we look at the Sermon on the Mount as a house, and as we go through the sermon and we see the particular pieces of furniture that God has put in each of the rooms, the Beatitude really functions as the porch. It functions as the entryway. It functions as that place where God kind of summarizes for us exactly what we're going to see in the house, so that we have some kind of understanding of what it is that the Lord will teach us throughout this portion of Scripture. It's probably pretty evident that as we have been going through here, that Jesus is really describing two kinds of people. He's describing those who are blessed, and by way of comparison, those who are not. In other words, a man is blessed if he's poor in spirit, but he's not blessed if he does not know that poverty of spirit that Jesus is talking about. Now, the Bible often refers to humanity in that way. We talk about believers and unbelievers, the righteous and the unrighteous. We talk about, from the very beginning of the book of Genesis, the seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent. And really, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is showing us that division that exists among mankind. We are blessed, but we are blessed not because of what we have done, because we weren't the ones who divided ourselves or separated ourselves from that kingdom of darkness. We're not the ones who have separated ourselves from the family of Satan. We're not the ones who have separated ourselves from sin. It is all the work of God. And as Jesus is gathering these multitudes, as they are coming from the highways and the byways, He is bringing to them this word of encouragement. Blessed are those who are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Again, we could talk about the word blessed. Let me only say this, that this blessedness that Jesus is speaking about, He is not talking about having a feeling of happiness. Most of us realize that you don't go through this life happy all the time. And anyone who tells you that being a Christian means you're always happy doesn't know the Christian life. There are instances, there are circumstances, there are situations in our lives that bring us great grief and sadness. I know by experience. And if blessedness was simply the feeling of happy, then I would have to say I'm not a blessed man. But it's not a feeling. The Bible tells us it's a state. It's a state that we have been brought into by the Spirit of the living God. And in this state, we know a shalom, a peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that rises above all the circumstances of this life. A peace that never leaves us. Because we have been brought to peace with God. Not only a state of shalom, but it's a state of assurance. It's a state of having a confidence that if God is for me, who can be against me? Is it God who called me out of darkness that is against me? No, He is for me. Is it Christ who died for me? No, He died for me. He is for me. Is it the Spirit who has come to live in our lives? No, the Spirit is the Spirit of peace that guards our hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. As Paul reminds us in the book of the Galatians, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace with God, and peace among ourselves. Now, regrettably, having been in the ministry for as long as I have, many, many, many of God's people don't understand or know this blessedness that I'm talking about. They don't know that peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's evident in our lives by the way we are often tempted to sin, by the way we struggle and fight with one another, by the unkind words that husbands often say to wives or wives to husband, or as our children grow, that fighting that exists in a family among siblings or even against fathers and mothers. You see, the Bible tells us that those who are blessed can and should strive for an understanding of that blessedness that they might walk in the light of God's countenance day by day, moment by moment in all of their lives, so that no matter what circumstances God brings along in your life, you are able, through the Spirit, to rise above them and say, praise the Lord. Because I am a child of God, I am blessed. And as one who is blessed and knows the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, I can, by God's grace, be a peacemaker in my home. I can, by God's grace, be a peacemaker in the church. I can, by God's grace, be a peacemaker in the community in which I live, in the nation in which I live, And in the kingdom of God as it is spread throughout all of the earth. God has broken down those walls of enmity. So whether I am in Africa among the African nations, they are brothers and sisters in Christ. Or if I'm in Europe, they are brothers and sisters in Christ. When I don't even speak the same language, we have the same heart and the Word of God dwells in it and we are at peace one with another. We can and must be peacemakers. For the Lord has said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." But who are these peacemakers? Well, following the pattern that I have throughout this series, I'll start off by saying what a peacemaker is not, and then we'll look at what a peacemaker is. First of all, a peacemaker is not one who is easygoing, soft-spoken of this world. You know, being a peacemaker doesn't mean being that you're timid or afraid to state what you believe, or to point out at a particular time an exhortation or a word of encouragement that's needed. It's not just the guy who just like lets himself be a doormat that everybody walks on just to be easygoing. I get along with everybody. Everybody's my friend. Sometimes I refer to those as glad-handers. They think they're the friend of everybody, but they really aren't. They're just not willing to live a genuine Christian life. A peacemaker is not the one who strives for peace at any cost. He's not a compromiser. He stands up for the truth. We often find ourselves in situations where someone makes a comment and we look and we say, well, should I just hold my tongue and be a peacemaker? Or should I speak the truth in love? The Apostle Paul tells us a peacemaker is not one who compromises, but a peacemaker is one who does speak the truth in love. He says what he means. He means what he says. The peacemaker that the Bible is here talking about is not one who is an anti-war activist of this world. Sometimes people look at Christians and they think just because we are Christians that we won't stand up against the tyrannies of this world. That we won't speak the truth even to those who are in places of authority over us. Or that we won't stand with the righteous as we battle injustice in the world, aggression, and all manner of hatred. No, a peacemaker is one who will, when the time calls for it, will stand up for what is right and even stand to the giving of his own life if necessary. So what is a peacemaker? Well, I believe the Bible teaches us three things that a peacemaker is. First, a peacemaker is one who imitates God. Second, a peacemaker is one who is subject to Christ. And third, a peacemaker is one who possesses the Holy Spirit. A peacemaker is one who imitates God. He imitates God by seeking God's will. Paul tells us in Romans 12, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Being no longer conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might know the just, the good, the righteous will of God." The peacemaker is the one who seeks God's will in everything. He's the one who prays with our Savior Jesus Christ, "Not my will be done, Lord, but thy will be done in all things." And whatever God has willed for us, it is just and right and holy and good. And because he seeks God's will, he never chafes, he never backbites, he never wrestles with the will of God. So that we do pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He longs for God's will. He seeks God's love. What I mean by that is he seeks to love even as God loves. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have that everlasting life. He seeks to love others as God loves others. He looks at his fellow man as not just another man, but as an image bearer of God. That one who has been created in God's image, who now has been broken by sin. But he seeks to love his neighbor even as God loves sinners. The Bible commands us to even love our enemy, so that when he is hungry, we give him something to eat. When he is thirsty, we give him something to drink. When he is naked, we give him something to put on. When he's tired, we give him a place to rest. He seeks to do God's will in all things. He seeks to love as God loves. And as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, he seeks God's glory in all circumstances and situations. He's ever mindful of the question, no matter what is going on in his life, no matter what is happening, he asks that question. What in this place will bring God the most glory? What will magnify his name and lift him up? What will be worthy to praise God with in our actions, in our thoughts, in our words? He lives a life to the glory and the praise and the honor of so great a God who has called us and redeemed us and set us free, so we are no longer the slaves of the tyranny of sin, but we have now become the bondservants of our great God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. They seek to be imitators of God. They seek to be the subjects of Christ. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that Christ is the Prince of Peace. Just like Hebrews 13:20 tells us that God is the God of peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And therefore, we seek and long for the life of Christ in us. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live by faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified that Christ might live within me. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We are the ones that God has ordained to carry Christ into the world. Jesus is no longer walking among us, but he lives within us, and in us he walks among the nations. And so we long for that life of Christ to grow in us, that we might really be Christians. You know where the word Christian came from. It's what the early believers got called, Christians, because they sought to act like Christ. That's what it means. It means to act like Christ. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm saying I live my life to act like Christ who lives in me. And Christ is the Prince of Peace. So the Apostle Paul says, with everything in you, live peaceably with all men. And we can do it because Christ indwells us. Christ lives with us. We seek and long for the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, came down among us, took on the likeness of sinful men, gave himself to the miseries of this life, to death itself. Remaining under the power of death, 3 days, God raised him up. A sacrificial life. To be a peacemaker means to live sacrificially for others. Esteeming others as better than myself. Not looking to my own interests, but looking to the interests of others. What is the most profitable for my wife? What is the most profitable for my husband? What is most profitable for my children? How can I live for them and give myself in sacrificial humility? Men, it is easy to be tempted as the head of the household to be a dictator, a ruler, one who disregards the rights of others and asserts himself only for himself. And the Bible condemns such leadership. The Bible condemns such tyranny. The Bible exhorts us to have the mind of Christ and to love our wives even as Christ has loved the church. Christ is a king, but he is a benevolent king. He is a righteous king. He is a humble king who humbled himself even unto death, the death of the cross, so that God highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. And that's what we must be to be peacemakers. We must humble ourselves before God with the mind of Christ. The subject of Christ longs for and strives for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. I do not believe that God has ordained any nation on this earth to rule the whole earth. And the reason God hasn't ordained any nation on this earth to rule the whole earth is because He has ordained a kingdom for the whole earth. So that from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, there would be a people unto Himself, a nation, a kingdom that encompasses the whole globe and heaven above with all of the angels and is ever even over the hell that men will go to if they disobey this glorious King. And so we seek the advancement of that kingdom. But we don't do it like the Mohammedans, Islam. We don't do it by the sword of men. We don't do it by the armies of men. We don't do it by the strength of horses. We do it by the sword of the Spirit, by the preaching of the Word of God. Now it's interesting because Jesus said at one point, "Think not that I've come to bring peace on the earth." He's come to separate the sheep from the goats, the unrighteous from the righteous, the seed of the serpent from the seed of the woman. But that kingdom into which He brings us is the kingdom of peace, because He is the Prince of Peace. That one who is a peacemaker is one who possesses the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he seeks to walk in the Spirit in a daily way. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit directs us by His Word, by and with the Word. He gives us the way that we should go, the way that we should live, precept upon precept, and we seek to walk in that way always before Him, always dependent upon His strength. We seek the things of the Spirit and not the things of this world. We recognize we came into this world naked, and out of this world we will go. The only thing that we will bear with us is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. The peacemaker is the one who strives for the Spirit. How often in your daily life do you pray for the fruit of the Spirit? Do you reflect upon, am I loving? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Am I joyful? Do I know that blessedness? Do I know that peace that surpasses all understanding? Searching our hearts, trying our way. And if there be any wicked way within us, we repent, we turn our feet away from unrighteousness. The peacemakers are those who are the imitators of God, the subjects of Christ, the possessors of the Holy Spirit. And the reason or basis for this beatitude, this blessedness, is because we will be called the sons of God. The doctrine of adoption is not one that is spread all over the Scriptures. In fact, the term adoption is only used in the New Testament, I believe, 4 times. But it is one of the most glorious doctrines that the Scripture sets before us. That we shall be called the sons of the Most High. We don't always reflect on the reality that Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer when He said, "And when you pray, pray thus, Our Father, which art in heaven." Our Father. Today's Father's Day. Gotten lots of texts from my children and my grandchildren wishing me a happy Father's Day. And there's a sense in which every Lord's Day is a Father's Day. It is the day that God has set aside for His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, that we as His children might gather together as His family to worship and adore Him for that great peace which is coming, that we will be at the marriage of the Lamb. It is a day for us as the children of God to come in and say, "It doth not yet appear what we will be, but we know this, we will be like Him, because we will see Him as He is." We have been adopted into the family of God. Most of you know, in fact, my oldest adopted son is here in the congregation this morning with my youngest grandson, Anthony. When we adopted the 3 boys, Douglas was 9 years old at the time. And Douglas asked me, I don't know if he'll remember this, but Douglas asked me the question, "What will your other children say?" I said, "Douglas, they will say, 'Welcome to the family.'" "But Daddy, what if something happens to you? What if you die?" I said, "What do you mean, what if I die?" He said, "Well, will the other children still want us?" And I said, "Douglas, they said, 'Welcome to the family.'" You see, these boys, when they came in our family, are as part of us as if they were born from my wife's very womb. I love them no less. I care for them the way I cared for all of my children. There is no color to their skin, black, white, yellow, red. They are my sons. In the same way, when we come into the family of God, when He adopts us into His family, we are His sons. He sees us as no different than Christ because He sees us in Christ. When God looks on us as His children, He looks on us the way He looks on Christ. And He loves us in Him. He rejoices over us in Him. He gives us to be co-inheritors with Christ because He has given to Christ all things. And as God held nothing back from His only begotten Son, He has said He would hold nothing back from us. We are part of God's family. He's identified us as such. We saw it this morning. He puts His name on us. He identifies us as His. This one is mine. And as God's, we are the inheritors of all the precious promises. Are you a peacemaker this morning? Let's think about it. How does a peacemaker behave? Well, one, they will have control of their mouth. The Apostle James tells us that the tongue is a fearsome thing, and that the unregenerate have no control over it. But as Christians, we're to bridle our tongues. Our tongue is the greatest weapon against peace. Think about the words you say. Think about the whispers, the slanders, the abuse that the tongue wields. But the Christian is one who has bridled the tongue by the Spirit of God. The peacemaker is that one who will not take offense at the failings of others. He's not a brawler. He's not looking for a fight. How many in the church, husbands and wives, are looking for a fight? They even say sometimes when they're in that place, they say, what, are you looking for a fight? You want to fight? You want to argue? Is that what you want? But the Christian is not a brawler. He's not looking to pick a fight. He's one who's humble, poor in spirit. He mourns and he's meek. And they look for every opportunity to do good to others, even their enemies. My wife, we were in Uganda, capital city, years ago. Uganda, the capital city, Kampala, is in a big valley that's surrounded literally by seven hills. And so when it rains, and it often rains really hard, that whole valley just basically floods. It starts filling up with water. And we got caught in a terrible storm there, and all the roads were blocked, and we couldn't get anywhere, and the floodwaters were coming up, and people were trying to go every which direction to get around, and so it even made the traffic even worse than it was. And a guy came speeding by me, you know, on the side of the road, and he suddenly popped into a ditch. Just got buried, the whole front of his truck, into this ditch, covered with water. And I went, yes, serves him right. And my wife said, that's not a very Christian attitude. I said, well, yeah, but look what he did. He said, yeah, but look where he is. Why don't you get out and help him get his truck out of the water? It's like, me? Doesn't the Bible say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God? We don't rejoice in others' misfortunes, the calamities that they face in life. We look for opportunities to bless and to be a blessing because we are a blessed people. So how do we grow? Well, we meditate often on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what my wife did for me that day. She helped me meditate on the gospel. How ought I to act as a Christian in this situation to help that individual? And who knows, maybe by the grace of God, God will use this to bring him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Meditate often on the life of Christ. You know, we meditate often on his death and his resurrection. But his life is important. To meditate on his life, to hear his words, to see his deeds, and to be imitators of Christ, that we might be peacemakers for God. And then the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, seek peace and pursue it. We must be active, vigilant peacemakers for the kingdom of God. In being peacemakers, we will bring great glory to Jesus. The world doesn't see Christ, but in us. So think about that for a moment. When the world looks at us, because we profess to be Christians, their only idea of who and what Christ is reflected in us. And if they see us as those who are hypocrites, those who are rude, those who are belligerent, those who seek to say, look at me, I'm better than you, those who don't take consideration for the feelings and the thoughts of others, those that aren't willing to lend that helping hand or to give that cup of cold water in the time of need, those who are only about themselves and not about serving God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Beloved, if you pursue peace among men, you'll reap peace both now in this life and that world which is to come. Let us pray. Our gracious Father and God, again, how we adore you for saving us from our sins. How we bless your name that you have brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And how, O God, we do seek to walk in all of your ways. As we have been learning these truths from your word, Lord, we pray that you would make us, as your people, peacemakers for the sake of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom belongs all the praise, the honor, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, now look up and receive the benediction of our God. Jehovah bless thee and keep thee. Jehovah make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Go forth in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.